Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, with the most, the king of kings himself, the man who has just been elected to Donald Trump cabinet. I will be the secretary of drunkenness. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
The secretary of drunkenness? Oh, boy, yeah, it's been a long week, I can tell. It's Sean Black in the building once again. Who else do we have in the cabinet of crazy?
Hello, fellas. How are we this evening?
We're doing fine, apparently.
We are?
Notice I said apparently.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Oh, well. The number to call in, guys, to vent out about something that's going on in the world today, I can't imagine what. All your questions or your comments is 347-989-8402, 347-989-8402. And you know what? The world is already pissed off still, so I don't think we're going to piss it off anymore. So let us go on with the show. And as Sean Black suggested this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, we should call the Absolute Truth into the Absolute Truth of Trump show.
Yeah.
The next few weeks, I have a feeling the next few weeks, God will, God forgive us, we're going to be talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah. Somehow I have a feeling he's going to provide us with a whole lot of content for the next few months. So.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone that tuned into the last week, two shows. It was, I guess, Donald Trump did us a huge favor and got us even more viewers, excuse me, more listeners on the show. So thank you for tuning in, and I'd like to give a shout-out to Anitra's B-sister. I'm not going to say the name, just in case. Thank you for tuning in last week and listening to your crazy sister on the air. But that show you we have all type of supporters. Well, like I say, it's about Donald Trump again. But, and also we're going to be talking about, sure, the voting process changed, but of course, Sean Black wants to bitch and complain about Donald Trump and what he has done lately. So Sean Black, what did Donald...
You just call me Donald.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The last week, what has everyone have been talking about? The election, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. Like, everybody is an apartheid expert right now. Like, they have the answers for everything. On social media, it is trending nonstop, even to this day.
Of course.
And there's even protests that's still going on right now, which I still don't get. Why are we doing protests?
Well.
Can I quickly just, before you get on your long rant?
Sure, go ahead.
I don't understand why people are complaining. They put him in office.
But the people who are complaining are not the one that put him in office. It's
yes,
the other
people. Exactly. The states that he won, the reason why he won those states is because the people who were bitching and complaining, crying and moaning, didn't fucking get up and vote. If they would have done their due diligence and done what they're supposed to do, he would not be in office, will not be, you know, going into office. So you can't complain.
Well, do you think part of that reason, before we go to Sean Black, do you think part of that because of young people that love Bernie Sanders because of Sean Black and I, we watched Bernie Sanders today on a particular talk show, and to me, before he sounded like he was still running for president of the United States. I'm like, okay, Bernie, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, but he was on and on. He was telling the people what they want to hear, the other side of the people. You know, better jobs, better health care, blah, 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 blah. So, but most of that was from the young people. So you think the young people didn't vote, and that's why...
I think a lot of people didn't vote. I think a lot of the people that they did what they normally do, talk all this shit, rant and rave because they want to be part of a group, they want their voice to be heard, but when it came down to actually taking action and putting their voice to count, they didn't do it. This is what happens when you don't exercise your rights. Shit like this.
Okay.
I think as you would normally say when you turn on the kettle and the kettle is starting to get the steam and steam is rising until the top
pops. Yes.
That's pretty much what's been happening in this country right
now. Ridiculous.
But it's like, out of all, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean Black, out of all the votes and everything, all the elections that's been going on, it just doesn't mean this is like the most talk about. I know there's the most to talk about in our generation now, but in a very long time, like I said, everyone is an expert right now. Like, what they think of what happened, how Hillary lost, how Donald Trump won, so-and-so. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, are we going to talk about this too? January 21st or 27th?
No, we're going to be talking about this until 2020, all right? So get used to it. This is not going away anytime soon based on the fact that we all know what Donald Trump is about as far as what he ran on. I think the issue that you're getting of why the protests are going and all the other stuff that's happened, what Anitra hit on just directly, was the fact that the same millennials that turned out in 2012 to vote for President Obama, they decided, because they were so apathetic about both candidates, they decided not to vote at all. And for those that have been whining and complaining about the vote doesn't count, if you look at all of the election areas in a lot of those states, a lot of the states that were won by Trump were won by very small margins, a few thousand votes, maybe 100,000 votes here. A lot of them weren't all blowouts. And some of the states that were initially Democratic states were flipped to Republican states, and the reasoning is because that in certain instances the Democratic Party, they didn't campaign in those states thinking that they had those states in the bag, like Wisconsin, which was one of the states that got flipped. Hillary Clinton, as I stated Wednesday, she hadn't been in that state to campaign in 7 months. They had just assumed that they had kept the state and it was going to be theirs, and it didn't happen. So what you have now are a lot of apathetic people who are angry. And as I talked to you off air earlier today, Hot Rod, what you're getting on the people that are chanting and are protesting, the majority of these people are scared. Because, one, we are entering uncharted waters. We're talking about the minorities that were offended. We're talking about the people that were Hispanic, that are gay, lesbian, transgendered, African-American, Muslim. If you're in that group, you're scared. You don't know what's going on. We've seen protesters going to these rallies that have been that are pro-Trump, shouting white power and putting up Trump signs and parading in the streets. We're seeing racist graffiti put on buildings. We're starting to hear the rhetoric that Trump basically won on as now filtered in the streets. And the people that were on the losing end of it are legitimately scared. We have a president who is absolutely positively what most people think is the wrong candidate to win. I want you to think about this. He's the president-elect. He'll be the president January 20th. When we hear about a president going to funerals of Army, Navy vets, of veterans that lose their lives, the president usually goes and consoles the family. I think it would be kind of weird to see the president-elect, who will become president, have to go to a Muslim American who served for the country, go to their family, and have to then send condolences and speak to that family based on the racist rhetoric that he had brought up. That's the ironic part of this whole entire deal. That's one of the realities that a lot of people are faced with. The other realities that we're going to be faced with are people that don't have that have health care through Obamacare, chances are that's going to be gone. Trump has already stated that they're going to repeal that. You've got women's rights, and more importantly, Roe versus Wade, which has been on the docket for years and years and years to assure that women have the actual choice if they need to have an abortion. Whatever side of the abortion side you're on, that's individual to you. He wants to take that decision and move it to the states. There are a lot of states on the state level where abortion is illegal. And that was brought up in the interview that he had on Sunday. And if this person, which I found very shocking, the interviewer asked Trump, well, what are you going to do about the abortion? He said, well, we're going to put it down to the states. The reporter said, well, if that's the case, they're getting a lot of women that are not going to be able to get abortions. You know what Trump stated? Well, I guess they're just going to have to move to another state. This is the president of the United States that the American people voted for. The people that are out there that are listening to the show that voted for Donald Trump, these are the kinds of things that you have to deal with. The people that didn't vote for Trump, this is the scariest part of the whole thing. These are the things you got to worry about going forward.
This is what happens when you don't do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. When you have the opportunity to vote and you don't vote, for instance, and I had this conversation also with Hot Rod off the air. We talked so much about Colin Kaepernick over the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin Kaepernick has always talked about the fact that he, because of how he feels African-Americans are treated, especially with all of the things that have happened over the years and the oppressive nature that he feels African-Americans are under, he decided to protest the national anthem. Now, the thing that really got me and got a lot of people who actually were backing Colin Kaepernick's right to protest, it comes to find out the one way that he could assure that his right to actually protest is covered within his constitutional rights was to actually choose the president of the United States, he decided not to vote. So you know what? As much as I actually I understood why he voted, and I understand why he protested and his right to actually protest, whatever he says about the situation, I find null and void, just personally to me. Because if he really was that upset over the whole deal, he should have went and voted. The problem is, in his mind, he thinks that both candidates were so racist that he didn't feel that either one of the two were there were worthy enough to vote for.
So then vote for the third option. Now it makes me feel like you did it for the publicity. Now you look pathetic.
There was a third option?
Yes, of course there was. There's always there's the main two candidates, and then there are other individuals who choose to run. Know that they're probably not going to win. But there are other things he could have done. He could have voted for his congressman, his state senator. He could have done things.
They are right in both
his ass. Yes, because he sat on his ass and did nothing now makes me think, okay, you did that for fucking publicity.
And it really makes his cause look rather
now
weak
he looks
now.
Stupid. No, now he just looks fucking stupid. Because if you're going to do something, you go all in. You don't go half-assed.
Maybe he have a different strategy about it. The way you
we
guys
strategy.
But you
want to
know something?
He wants to express his right. I didn't agree with what he did, but he had the right to do it. So if you can express that you have the right to do this or that, then continue with it. Go full force. Don't just do it. Now in my opinion, he did it for the fucking publicity.
If he went on and said, you know what, I don't believe in either of these two candidates. I voted for Gary Johnson, or I voted for Jill Stein, or I voted for whoever my local congressperson that wrote
exactly.
in any
that,
one of those instances. If he would have done that and said that I voted for a write-in candidate because at least it's somebody that I believe in, then there would be no real issue. It's like, okay,
exactly.
He's against the establishment, but he still is about the democracy of voting. That makes perfect sense. There's nothing wrong with
that.
Then that's respectable.
But guys, what happens if he's against voting? He does not believe in the voting system.
Then
he
has nothing to complain about when you get the result that you get now. And
exactly.
That's the problem with not voting at all. The millennials that did not vote have the result they have now. And those are the same ones that are in the streets protesting who the president of the United States is. And the people that are looking for the equal rights that they want, and abortion laws for women, as far as the reproductive rights, the immigration instances that we're going to be talking about at some point later on, you know, those are on the table. Health care, jobs, trade, all of that is there. And if you don't vote, you have no say in what happens to the rest of the country for the next 4 years.
Okay, so talk about the voting process. If we go by the popular vote, Hillary Clinton got 59,236,003. Donald Trump, your president-elect, got 59,085,787. So apparently, Hillary got more votes than Donald Trump. So
yeah, she won the popular vote.
By over a million, exactly.
So, Sean Black, I need to be starting with Sean Black first. Should the voting process change? Because once again, Donald Trump won by the electoral, by the rednecks area with all those maps. He got like what 282 votes. Hillary Clinton got like what maybe 7 states.
Yeah, but the difference was that those states that she won were they had huge numbers of electoral votes. So she got California, she got New York, she got the smaller states with the smaller amounts added up more.
Do you know that she got Cali the way she got California? They reported it. It was by such a large margin that they closed their polls before it was to close. Like she got like I think it was like 90% of the tally or something to that effect.
I think it was
like
within the first hour or so that they opened up the polls.
They closed the polls because even if they kept them open, let's say he got 5%, she still won the state.
But apparently, it didn't work out in her favor in the end because. She's not your president.
Because
so
the people in these ridiculous states that voted for this moron, the people that should have gotten up and voted, didn't, which is why he took the state.
But don't you think people want a change? I'm like, they will go for a racist compared to Hillary?
No,
like,
you know what I mean?
People are tired of politics?
Here's what it is. I don't think it has anything to do with they're looking for a racist to take over. This is what I think is the problem. The Republican Party and anybody that has voted Republican for years, in general, are fed up with the way government is. They're fed up with the fact that they feel that their jobs are going overseas to China and overseas to India and all the other places internationally that they think that the normal, regular jobs that would normally be here are ending up being outsourced. No middle class, it's starting to shrink. You're having less jobs, et cetera, et cetera. The normal stuff that happens, and this has been going on for years. So we've been hearing this over and over, and we know that there is a legitimate fear in America of the way the country had gone. The problem is that it's the thought of the way regular government has been, especially when you hear about, well, the government almost shut down 3 or 4 times because they can't come to an agreement on the budget, and let the place close down and then we'll redo it. These are the kinds of apathetic feelings that a lot of people have towards government. That's where the frustration is. The problem is in the execution of making sure that you have the right leaders involved, right people involved. And when you hear Donald Trump talk about, well, we're going to, as he said, drain the swamp is what his expression is, and get rid of the status quo of all of the old rhetoric and all of the other stuff and getting new, fresh faces. He's filling his entire cabinet with people that have been throughout the entirety of government. So it's nothing new. You know, it's like campaign.
Maybe that's part of the Republican plan. Maybe they told Donald Trump, this is who you need to put in your cabinet.
No, this is all – a lot of that is all on Trump. All of the decision-making as far as who's in his cabinet, that's all on him.
So what about that Donald Trump picked that everybody's going haywire about?
Oh,
the racist guy?
Yes. His name is Steve Bannon. And Stephen Bannon – I'm going to tell you like this, and this will scare the hell out of a lot of people, and I'm pretty sure Anitra might have heard the name before if she hasn't read up on it, and I'll inform you about it. Stephen Bannon, who was for a while, ran a website called Breitbart, which is an alt-right, that's the terminology, an alternate right conservative website for the Republicans. He is probably more overtly racist and dangerous than Trump himself. And that's saying a lot. And the reason why I say that is because he is going to be in Donald Trump's cabinet. He's going to be sharing the same ear as Rince Priebus, who's going to be in the cabinet with him as well. And to give you an idea, Breitbart is a website that he was running for 4 years, and he was putting editorial content and news on there to basically placate the Republican Party. And a lot of the news stories that he put up was so overtly offensive, not only to women, but to he's been looked at allegedly as an anti-Semite. There's stories that have gone saying that he was overtly racist. I'm going to give you an idea of some of the things he said on the website. Based on the issues of health, birth control makes women unattractive and crazy. This is stuff that's been on the website from 2012 to 2016 when he left the website so that he can help campaign for Donald Trump. One of the quotes he basically stated was, and Stephen Bannon, mind you, is a white man, so listen to this comment. I'd like you to imagine that you are Neo from The Matrix. For the purposes of this thought experiment, I am Lawrence Fishburne, except with really good hair, a charming personality, and, of course, I am much blacker than he is. Your birth control injection will add on pounds that will prevent the injection of what you really want, of man meat. That comment is on the website that was shared through Facebook from years ago. A single month of birth control would be enough to have even the most loyal woman desperately tripping attractive men and falling on top of them, regardless of affirmative consent. Now you may be asking what I would have to have women replace the pill with, since it's obviously so awful. Condoms? Vasectomies? The answer is nothing. We need the kids if we need to breed enough to keep the Muslim invaders at bay. Those are some of the kinds of inflammatory comments he stated and said. He says Planned Parenthood's body count under Cecil Richards, who is the head of Planned Parenthood, is up to half a Holocaust. These are the kinds of comments that are coming out of this guy's mouth and have been put on the website itself. And this is the person that has Donald Trump's ear on a regular basis going through all of this stuff. Now, whether or not they tone down this rhetoric in the White House itself, I don't know. And I'm pretty sure they're going to have their own conversations between each other as they try and make up laws with everything. But these are the kinds of things that are out there, and this is the kind of rhetoric that he had before anyone really knew who he was going forward.
Okay, hold on, Sean. It sounds like tonight you and Anitra have a lot to let out tonight. Wow.
It's a matter of just informing people what's out there so that they, if they're going to be angry about something, they'll know what they're being angry about.
Okay. Max, you're on the air, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good evening. Good evening, buddy.
Hey, what's going on?
And Max is another Donald Trump supporter.
Funny, man. You're funny.
You don't support Donald Trump?
I haven't supported Donald Trump since maybe back in the days when he was like top of the world during the 80s and the early 90s. That's when I supported Donald Trump. I'm not going to lie. I'm an owner of three of his books. And he's what made me study business entrepreneurship in college. So, yeah, I feel bad just knowing that this man is president. I didn't vote for him.
But
he was one of the, main reasons why I'm sorry?
Why do you feel bad? If yes, he was top of his game back in the 80s and the 90s, but why do you feel bad? He's the president.
Well, everything he's been saying during the prior to the election day from last year, all the stuff that he was endorsing was everything that I had problems with. I don't agree with certain things he said, and certain things I did agree, but I think it came out ugly. But that's his style. He wants to come out ugly. So I will agree with him on certain aspects as far as purchasing power and better proper education. He had said that since the 80s and 90s about blacks, how they do lack proper education when it comes to business and purchasing. He said basically that we'll purchase things that we don't think about first before we buy. And so when you say we're our own problem, we're guilty of our own problem. Self-gratification is what we go for. And instant gratification, I like to say, instant gratification. So that's our biggest weakness. Trump, I always have said that. But I just wanted to share something. I don't want to bore you guys to death, but Sean is right. Trump planned all this. He made sure he had the right people that he could bring to the table to make that change, to whitewash, and to bring back their power. He's not for gay. He's not for the gay cause. He's not really for black as well either, unless the blacks could bring money to the table. His idea with black people is basically like, what value do they have? Right? He doesn't see any value in blacks besides entertainment. So other than that, there's no purchasing value with blacks. They're good as customers, but as far as them sitting at the table next to them, he doesn't see that.
Okay, Sean?
Well, one of those things that we've all discussed about Donald Trump and the people in his cabinet and what he plans on doing, I think it's really all a matter of what Trump is going to do, because even though, like I said, I saw some of the 60 Minutes interview that he did where he looked somewhat humbled, a little bit, but not much. And I think what I believe is the case is outwardly, at least on the surface, he realizes that this is a big, big job. And there were probably a lot of things that he wanted to implement or wants to do that he probably realized, you know what, there's a lot of things that I have to do checks and balances-wise before I can do anything. The only issue with that is when you have the Senate and you have Congress in the same party controlled by the Republican Party, it's going to be a lot easier to get your agenda across without as much obstructionism as what happened when President Obama, while he was in office during his 8 years. So that's one of those things that you have to worry about there.
Okay, K-Dog. We have K-Dog on the line. K-Dog.
Hey, what's up, y'all? With all that noise in the background, I can't even hear nothing.
Sorry, I'm at the bar.
Yeah, man, I know I'm watching the game, but yeah, I can't even hear anything.
All right, so talk now, K-Dog.
All right, well, all I got to say is this, is that last week around this time, people were anticipating an election that was going to end victorious. But unfortunately, jeez, man, there's noise in the background. But unfortunately, what happened last Tuesday was that everyone went into shock because Donald Trump won the election. And the thing is, people are still scratching their heads as to how is it that someone who ran such a hateful, racist campaign could win this election. And the fact that also with the popular, and also the fact that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, hands down. Now, the thing is, what happened is that what I learned from another media source is that 46% of the country did not vote in this election. People may think it's a small number, but it's not. It's a big number. Michael Moore himself even talked about what happened in Michigan when he said that people voted but left the presidential vote blank. I mean, this is the thing with the racism that's going on here in America. We allow this racism to win, and that's why I see a lot of people who are protesting this election, and people are not happy about it. But my question is, of all the protesters, how many people in those protests actually went out to vote?
I'm sure, Cato, a lot of people did went out to vote from the protest. They just not happy with the results. But if they're out there making noise, I mean, again, I understand people are protesting and make noise and make their voices heard and they have their rights.
But
the damage is done. The president is elected, and that's it.
But you know what, Anitra, are you there?
I'm listening.
Wait,
yeah,
before anything else, Max, if you're still there, do you think you can mute your phone until we come back to you?
Yeah, man.
Sorry, buddy. Yeah, I'm going to do it right now. Hold on.
Okay, no problem. Okay. There
now
you go, Cato.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, man. Thanks. Yeah, Anitra, what you said earlier made a lot of sense because, you know, at the end of the day, it is your American right to go out to vote. But if you're not going to vote, and the wrong candidate wins, and I said this before, sit down and shut up, because the time came for you to speak your mind, to be a voice, and you chose to stay silent. And that's what that 46% in this country chose to do. And it's a shame. It's shameful.
A lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of people use the opportunity to get their 15 seconds of fame.
Exactly.
To put themselves in the spotlight, but really had no intentions of doing anything about it, which is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, because that's why someone like Donald Trump ended up winning. And did you see the people that he picked for his cabinet? Rance Priebus, and he picked that guy on what's his name? He's also known as an anti-Semite.
Yeah, Stephen Bannon.
Stephen Bannon.
Yeah.
I heard Giuliani. He's appointing a position to Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
I was
dying
when I heard that.
And the big loser of all of this is Chris Christie. He seems like he was demoted.
Oh, yeah. They done with him.
So, guys, I'm sorry. What is the big deal? The Republicans won. They got the Senate. They got the cabinet.
They got
the president. So what's the problem now? Why?
Well, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a lot of extreme things going on because you know what? One of the things that he pointed out is that he went to pro-life. Now they're going to try and overturn Roe v. Wade.
Which I think Anitra will strongly disagree with that. I mean, I don't want to jump the gun on you. I'm assuming you disagree with that 100%, Anitra.
Of course I do. Do I think they're going to overturn it? No. Why do I think it's not going to happen is because our Congress has been predominantly Republican forever, and it's never been overturned. So I really, honestly, I don't think that's going to happen.
True.
But it will cause controversy, and if Donald Trump had preached hate and turned people's minds into hate or even more hate, who would know what Roe v. Wade will bring right now with this new generation that we have? This is different from 30 years ago. People were thinking back then. Now we have social media to do the thinking for most of these young people today, and most people in general, I should say.
Yeah, but you know
but
what I thought was interesting? Someone asked him about if he what he's going to do about the gay marriage rights, the fact that it's legal. And he has no intention, according to what he said to this reporter, he has no intention of touching that topic. He says Congress made the decision, and he's letting it be, which I thought was interesting. Because the comments he made in his campaign, I didn't expect those words coming out of his mouth.
No, there's a reason why. Because they're making money from that. He's not going to interfere with something that you're making money from. He's probably against it. He probably don't care about it. But ever since, why do you think they put that gay rights into law? To make money from it. If these people wanted to pay to get married, get divorced, and have parties, why not? We're making, they're probably making billions from that right now. So why do you want to interfere with that? But that's a business move he's making. He's a businessman.
No, I get
he's
that.
He's an evil genius.
I just thought it was interesting because he did mention in his campaign that he was against it.
Yeah.
So the fact that he flipped the quarter kind of was kind of intriguing. Like, oh, okay, now I see your actual opinion on it, that there are certain things that you won't tackle because of the potential controversy.
Well, from my understanding, what Obama said in the press conference, there's a big difference between campaigning and what you're trying to do as president.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's true.
You say one thing,
yeah.
But when you get the job,
yeah.
It's like, oh, my gosh. Like I told Sean Black earlier, a man like myself, you know, you guys know me. I have a little bit of an ego, but I do like power.
Just a little bit, huh?
Just a little bit.
Little?
Ego. That's it. That's a little
that's
bit.
That's it, really?
That's a little
There's
bit.
There's no hoverboard and cape and crown involved?
No.
Uh-huh.
And even my producer's laughing at me right now, but... Even I don't want the job of President of the United States.
Well, Donald Trump was pretty much shocked that he won.
He was pretty much shocked
that he won because a lot of the experts, especially the media, had said that he was not going to win it. And here he is winning an election.
And like I told Sean last week, I told you so. Donald Trump going to win. I don't care what polls say. Polls are nothing to me. All throughout the media, all you've been hearing was Hillary, 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 Hillary. And look what happened. It's just like baseball, basketball, like sports. You have the Golden State Warriors. You have the best record throughout the whole season. Because at the end what really counts. And that's what happened.
Oh, of course.
And that's why most of the stations like in shock and awe, like, wait a minute, what just happened? Hillary was in the lead. Everybody was loving Hillary. But here's my question. If Hillary had picked Bernie Sanders as a running mate, or if Bernie Sanders had won the election and was Bernie versus Donald Trump.
You would have seen a different outcome, though. Because this is the thing. A lot of people and a lot of the women were very upset about what happened in this election because people are saying that America was not ready for a female president. But the thing is, from what I've seen it, this is my personal opinion, there will be a female president. They just didn't want Hillary Clinton to win it. That's how I see it.
Anita?
I just personally think that if she was a man, the ridiculous controversy around her would have exploded the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think they made a molehill into a mountain because she's a chick. She's an asshole.
Sure.
She's like every other politician. Because she's a woman, it made her stand out, which to me was ridiculous. But like
Sean
I
Black.
Said, it on a smaller level, I go through it all the time.
I see it all the time. Yeah, and I think that was the underscoring issue behind the entire deal is the fact that no matter how qualified she was for the job, which we all agree with, she was qualified for the job more so than Trump. She had the experience. She knew what she was doing. She knows the relationships that it would take with other countries, their laws, the balancing act that it takes. She knew all of that stuff. The bottom line was two things. One, they didn't trust her, and two, because she was a female. And if those two things working against her, there was pretty much no way that she was going to win. Now, that glass ceiling that everybody was looking for her to break, it won't be done by her. So it'll be
up to
another politician that is a female,
yeah.
that is just as qualified to go and do something. It could be a Republican female. We never know. It could be a Democratic female, but at some point it will be done.
Well, I like Anisha's suggestion from last week. And you know what? I will throw my his name in the hat right now. Kanye West for 2020. Let's
Dear
go, Kanye
Lord.
West.
There goes the neighborhood.
Listen to this very carefully. If he could be president, anybody could be president. And we have a new caller. Okay, caller 336-382, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just listening to the program. It just came through. I was just listening to the individual talking about Hillary Clinton being qualified and whatnot. But a lot of us, you know, me being a Marine, out of Marine Corps now, always a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. But, you know, you have to really study history and have a thorough knowledge of history and what certain words mean. And if you don't know that, you know, there are two constitutions, you have a public constitution and a private constitution, and you don't know that, you know, you don't learn the same thing in public school that you learn in private school, and the two don't mix. And once the American people find out that you have a public constitution and a private constitution, they're going to be mad as Haiti. Mm-hmm. And you need to find out what this is.
Okay. Mm. Wow. Mm.
That's true.
Strong Black.
And it makes a lot mm-hmm. of sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
You're right, right. And when you find out in 1871 that they redefined the word person, made it a fictional entity, a character that's attached to your name in all capital letters, and they monetized your birth certificate, and then they created the post office in 1871 to keep up with the future corporations that they created, that they monetized. And they also redefined the word state, which means Washington, D.C. You might think it means the state of North Carolina or the state of Illinois or the state of California, but something can be legal and not be lawful, and something can be lawful and not be legal, and there's a difference between the two. And once you get to understand what legalese is, you understand what kind of dilemma that the people really are in. Because in the public constitution, when they say we the people, they don't mean the flesh and blood you. They mean the corporations that they created.
And right. The corporations that have been running the country forever and ever. But we all can
that's
agree,
right.
It's not us. It's the corporation that's
right. But that's what I'm saying. The corporation is not just a business. They made the people taxable corporations because they biological property through the paupers agreement when they tricked mothers into turning over their babies to the state.
Oh. So tell me, caller, do you think the voting process should be changed?
Well, that's why people are seeing right now is saying that when you, with the Electoral College, you got to understand when you go into the history of why the District of Columbia was created, when it was created, and why it was created, to take power from the people, because the so-called founding fathers said, what? We giving you a republic, but whether you keep it or not is up to you. Because a republic is you do what you want to do. You don't have to go with mob rule or whatever the majority decides is what you go through. That's what the popular vote is about. That was the original right that you had. So they took a right and made it a privilege. A right is what you have by natural law, which is lawful. But a privilege is something they create through legalese, which they call a privilege. And the only thing you can do with a privilege is take it away, and which what they have done. And that's all I'll leave with, sir. So I'll listen. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for your input. I really do appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Have a good night.
Great.
And for once, ladies and gentlemen, I'm shocked and awe. That is some great knowledge.
Yes, very
good. Knowledge.
I've heard that before. That's what they teach in the military.
Yeah.
I've heard all of it before. It's 100% taught in the military.
Mm.
True. Why do the young people see it that way?
Because the young people haven't been given one young. Our society is such that young people have the attention span of a fruit bat, where it's always about what happened yesterday. We all live in the moment, as opposed to taking the entirety of the situation and trying to bring that into your current thinking. Everybody is worried about what just happened 5 minutes ago or what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. As opposed to what has happened before in the past, in the distant past, and how it connects to the current. And as that expression goes, you learn from history or you're doomed to repeat it. This is what we're starting to learn now, you know?
Yeah, but
they also believe that everything on social media or everything that's written on a piece of paper is true.
And
which
that's
is not
the
only
sad part. That's the saddest part. You realize something, that 44% of adults actually get their news from Facebook?
Oh, my
yeah,
goodness.
Yeah, 44%
of all adults. And here's the crazy thing about this. The one thing that Mark Zuckerberg talked about a couple of days ago, he was talking about how, well, the news that we put on Facebook is 99% factual, and it's all, we fact-check our information, et cetera, et cetera. There's this growing thing that's been happening with a lot of fake news stories that go on in the on the internet that people grab and run with. 38% of Republican-leaning websites push fake news. 19% of Democratic-leaning sites push fake news. The problem is, even if you're looking at that discrepancy, 19% is still high. 38% is almost double that, which is absolutely mind-boggling.
The caller, are you back?
Yes. I was just listening again. I guess a call got dropped.
No problem.
But what he just said was absolutely correct. There's a woman by the name, wrote a book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Elizabeth, and she broke down because she found out her father was an elitist with George Bush at Yale University. And when she came off on the papers, they set up, a lot of people don't even know, you know, you got the prison industrial complex and you got an educational industrial complex. So what they did was they took critical thinking and analysis out of schools. Critical thinking and analysis. So now, you know, people are so happy about passing these legal marijuana laws and making marijuana legal. They don't pass some kind of laws because they love you or because they want you, but they want you stupid so they can keep taking the world right from up under your feet. And you hit it right on the head when the attention span of the American public.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a child.
So,
mm-hmm.
so basically, it's another. You're saying it's another distraction
right,
for the
without,
people.
Without a doubt, because people don't know how to see. There's a T-shirt that I got my sister that says, "Respect your elders," because we graduated without the internet. Remember, Google don't teach you what's correct.
I like that.
Google don't teach you what's most correct. It only shows you what's most popular. It don't show you what's most accurate. It only puts up there what's most popular. And just because
exactly.
you find something in Google, you got to still do a deeper history, because America and the United States of America are two different things. One is a corporation, and one is the landmass and the people.
True, but okay. Here's the dilemma that I see. In school, they teach you lies. If you go to the internet, you know, people want to know what's going on right now. So where can you really learn these type of things of the true history?
Right, and that's why, I mean, it's all out there. You mean, you Google, what does your birth certificate mean, who Great Britain owns the USA, it's all, that's the great thing about the internet. You just can't choose what's going to, it's out there, you got to do your research. And when people don't have critical thinking and analysis, they don't know how to cross-reference, check history. Because remember, when we were coming up, because I'm 47 years old, you know, when I was coming up, we had it, you know, in the black community, if you had an encyclopedia, everybody came to your house.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. I remember
those days. Right, and then if you didn't have we did real research, and then we didn't have an encyclopedia, then we learned how to use the Dewey Decimal System at the library.
Oh, my gosh, I hated that.
Exactly, that's going back.
Right?
And even
back.
More so,
yeah.
How many people do you know of actually still go to the library?
That's
how many
question.
People know what a library
and
card
is? Right. And only reason
people
that's right. And
that.
Only reason they go into the library nowadays is to get on the internet. That's
mm-hmm.
why you can't hardly get in there. And the last thing, why we knew how to do real research, if you didn't have an Encyclopedia Britannica, and you used the Dewey Decimal System and you couldn't find it there, then we did the ultimate thing. We pulled up the microfiche and the microfilm.
Yeah, the microfiche. Yeah, go to the library and do that. But you know what it is now, man. A lot of these children are not enjoying those perks that we used to enjoy, like going to the library and exactly what you said. Because right now, modern technology has taken over.
Right, and made us lazy, right?
It made us, exactly. It's making our children lazy. Because you have children right now who know more about apps on a cell phone than we as adults do.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And it's not by accident.
No,
it's not. Even Adolf Hitler said, whoever controls the children control the future. And they know this. They know this. I've been all over the world. I've been through, man, Southwest Asia, parts of Africa, this England, you know, just traveling all over the world.
Yeah.
And once you get outside of America, then when you learn the real history, that people who write the history, you know, I had to tell somebody today, I said, what were black people called before 1492? He said, it wasn't called blacks or African-Americans. You know, the powers that be, they always rebrand something and make you think it's something different. So
exactly.
They call it Jordache, Calvin Klein's, True Religion, Levi's, but they all denims.
So, caller,
exactly.
Are you a Donald Trump supporter?
No, I voted on the local level because, you know, when it came to that, you know, I knew. When I heard Dick Gregory say once, he said, when you vote for the lesser two evils, you vote about the evil that's in you.
Yeah, I like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I knew, but this is the thing about it. If you know that America is a corporation, you got a public president and a private president, you know whenever that public president gets up there, the powers that he can only do what the shareholders allow him to do. So it ain't going to be so far he can go. But that's the paradigm that they push, that it's the Democrats against the Republicans. And if you know the history, you know how the Democrat Party and the Republican Party came about? Remember when New York was fresh? You ever seen the movie The Gangs of New York? They put a little bit of truth in there, right? With Leonardo DiCaprio,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is why in a boxing ring you have one side is always red and the other side is always blue, because the gangs in New York. The Italians, the Irish, the English, they were all jockeying for power. And so they said they were running the rackets and everything else. They said, okay, well, you bring your best fighter and I bring my best fighter and we'll put them in the ring. And whoever fighter ring wins, we'll be able to run this particular territory for a month or a year. And then whenever you got your next fight and it's time to do it again, we'll fight all of it. And that's how boxing, that's how the Republican Democrat Party came about. And if you don't know the history of boxing, that's where that gangs in New York come from.
Wow. I have to praise you. You're giving me some knowledge right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, real knowledge.
I feel like going back and do some research. Oop, Matt, go ahead.
That's
Matt, what
you know, I'm like Malcolm X said, don't believe me. I want you to research what I say so you get your own understanding, not my understanding.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening to the gentleman. He's right. I mean, I had it on mute, so I'm listening to everything he said. He's on point. I do my research. I'm a proud member of the library. I go 4 times a week. I read as much as I can. Everything he said, he's got points right there about the history of New York itself. And, man, listen, the major parties like the Bush family, the Trump family, you know, even the Kennedys, they all did illegal activities, history-wise.
Right. Just to get ahead.
His great-grandfather was the owner of a bordello. He
that's
owned
right.
prostitution. Bush
that's right.
And that's why
Trump can say, excuse my language to the woman that's on, that's why he can say, grab her by the pussy. He really mean that.
He really meant that. Yeah, exactly. And I agree with him also. I did the same thing. I voted locally. I didn't focus on the whole fucking presidential election. Mm-hmm. I just put down Jill Stein. Fuck those two bastards. They can kiss my ass. I ain't give a damn.
Tell them how you really feel.
Evil is evil. They're a bunch of assholes. And I'm going to throw this at you guys, too, especially Sean and Hot Rod. I did tell you guys 2 years ago, it's not about feminism. It's about racism and capitalism and socialism. And right now, socialism is not the priority. It's capitalism. They want to focus on capitalism. They want to focus on power. And we don't have enough power to sit in that table because we're still ignorant.
We're still blinded.
I cannot disagree with you. I can't argue with you on that part. It's like, from all of us, I'm speaking for all of us, we have some type of knowledge because we're from the old school. I'm more concerned about our children and this generation.
Right.
It's like, You know, it's like we're going to do our part for our kids, but is it enough for the whole society? This is a bigger problem that we think it is right now.
Right.
Like, we know what to do. We know what to say to the kids, but you only could do but so much by ourselves.
Right, but that's why you have to, you know, that's why about teaching your children. So now I got a young nephew, which I'm going to, you know, he's only about 2 right now with this and that, but I'm doing all this stuff for him and my other family members. You know, I'm like the sage in my family. Well, what's going on? What about this or what about that? So when you look at all these events that are going on, you know, what did you say?
No, I'm sorry, carry on.
Okay, so when I'm saying about all the events that's going on, you know, you can't let it overwhelm you. You have to stay focused. It's like when you hear Donald Trump talking about we're going to lock up all Muslims and this and that. But do y'all know the oldest standing treaty in the world is the Treaty of Peace and Friendship, right? You ever heard of that before? And you can pull it up
mm-hmm.
on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You're right,
right
about
so,
that.
So that is the Moorish Empire. That was the first people, the Moors, that was black people that was protecting the United States.
Yes, they were.
From Great Britain, right? But you won't know that. And then you hear some people come out there try to rebrand it. Well, the reason why they did that because they captured American ships. But they'll tell that lie and won't go into the history about how slavery was already outlawed in Great Britain, but they were still letting it go on in America. And what they did was they were making more slaves that were right here. That's when you get the movie 12 Years a Slave, because they made up a new term called colorable law, because white man didn't mean white man or white people like we mean it today. It mean a free person.
Well,
so when they came up with colorable law, they meant to get people that were melanated, that were dark skinned. And so now the transition went from being white man, meaning a free person, to colorable law, and they were tricking black people into being slaves.
Wow. Well, guys, it's time like this. I hate to do this, but it's time to go.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much,
yeah,
caller.
Man.
I'm sorry, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. North Carolina, the state that voted for Donald Trump.
But see, the last thing I wanted to say is, see, the popular vote. They took your vote and put it in the Electoral College because your vote don't count. Because they voted
right,
who they wanted to vote for. Right.
Yes. Oh, well, you know what? Thank you so much, guys. We got to do this again next Monday night at 10:30. Thanks so much.
I'll
we do appreciate
now.
It.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Max,
thank you.
Tito, thank you, guys.
Hey, you're welcome, man. Thank you. The pleasure was
all
yours.
Indeed. Okay. We got a minute left. You guys want to say anything?
I'll throw it to Anitra first. Go ahead.
That was interesting. He brought up some really valid points.
Yeah. For once, the Hot Rod is shock and awe. I have no words, but I appreciate this type of history. It just reminds me once again, knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Not social media. Even though, yes, I am a social media freak, I do have a limit on it. I don't go by all the things on social media. I just go out and have fun. Anitra will vouch for me during the election time. I didn't go ranting and raving. I do what I do best. I talk crap. I crack up jokes.
And then you drink.
Yeah, you do.
And then I drink because you know what? And you know, I was drinking because you know what? Life goes on. Well, our next week program, folks, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Sean and I came up with our topic, if God willing, of course. Yes, it would be Donald Trump, but it's about deportation and immigration, how serious it is. If this war is really going to happen, or we're all moving to Canada.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that is that during Election Day, if those that actually went to the Canadian immigration website, the website crashed literally 2 hours after the election results started to come in. So that should tell you that this is a real hot-button topic.
Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Donald Trump Show. Right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Trump. That's what we should call it.
I'm your host, Hot Rod, with
Sean Black and
Anitra B.
Oh, man.
Thanks so much, everyone. And yes, for Christmas, Anisha B was giving out her sex tapes to every caller
Stop
out there. Thank
doing
you so much.
It. I'm serious. That's, people are going to start believing you. That's just not nice. They don't really know it's you and Sean. You need to tell them the truth.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, man.